In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunter View, Courier News, the Express Times, Hunter County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Y'all please rise for flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for service members.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. We have the minutes from a few meetings. The first, the April 5th meeting is tabled for the moment until we get them completed. So we have the meetings, the special and executive meetings for April 18th, 2017. So we have the special meeting minutes and then the executive for the special meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting on April 18th and the minutes of the special executive session on April 18th.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Then we have the minutes of the regular meeting on April 19th. Get a motion.
Make a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of April 19th, 2017.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 And we have the minutes of the executive session meeting of April 19th. Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the executive session minutes of April 19th.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Then we have the meetings of the minutes of the special meeting of April 20th and the minutes of the special executive session meeting of April 20th. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the special meeting on April 20th, 2017, and the minutes of the special executive session on April 20th, 2017.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Okay. Can I get a motion to open to public comment limited to agenda items only?
I'll make a motion to open to public limited to agenda items only.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 If there is any items for the public?
Seeing none, I'll make a motion to close the public session.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. First item is a resolution 47-2017, redemption of tax sale certificate 201601, tax collector sales tax certificate from October 14th, 2016, in the amount of $2,574.30 for block 9, lot 8, T03. Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 47-2017, redemption of tax sale certificate.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 And then we have a resolution 48-2017, also redemption of sales tax certificate, number 201602, also from October 14th, 2016, for $2,574.30, also the same one?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I was like, I didn't catch that before. And I was, I'm like, wait.
1601 and 1602.
Okay.
They were the same.
Just making sure. For some reason, I didn't catch that before. And it like threw me off guard. $2,547.30, also for Block 9, Lot 8, T04.
Make a motion to approve resolution number 48-2017.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Then we have resolution 49-2017, resolution awarding contractor for 2017 road materials. We have... The contract is for Warren Materials for top mix at $53.75 per ton and Warren Materials for base mix at $48.75 per ton. Can I get a motion to approve?
Looking at the bid, he went to two other bidders and they came in, Warren Materials came in at the better pricing, so... I'll make a motion to award this resolution number 49-2017 to Warren Materials for top mix at $53.75 per ton and base mix at $48.75 per ton.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Now we have the... Resolution 50-2017, Hunterdon County Open Space Trust Fund Municipal Grant Application. This is the Township desires obtaining funding for the amount of $750,000 for the County of Hunterdon to fund the following projects: the Teeter Town Point Mountain Link, comprising of 244 acres along Shore and Mount Lebanon Turkey Top Roads. This is basically a resolution to put it in so that we could continue, what's the best word for that, the possibilities, I guess, to keep this moving. Is there any other, is there any questions anybody has?
Do we have a master plan for this in the end? I mean, where is this going to finally come to a conclusion where we're not going to be going for more properties? We're trying to tie stuff together, I realize, but do we have an end plan where we're going to be satisfied and that's good? And grant money is taxpayers' money.
I would say there are two answers to that. One is we have a 2002 open space and recreation plan where this property is part of, there's a list of preservation priorities. But as part of the Green Acres application that we put in, we are before the end of the year updating our open space plan. So there'll be public hearings and input in terms of time for the public to weigh in on whether we want to preserve more or less and how we want to do it. So we're in the process of updating that in parallel to this.
But this was on the plan from 2002 to be one of the piece of properties to preserve, and it is on the county's list of master plan for preservation.
I just want to see if we have a goal or an end.
There is a goal. Any other questions?
No.
Then can I get a motion to approve Resolution 50-2017?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution number 50-2017, which is the Hunterdon County Open Space Trust Fund Grant application.
I'll second it. And a roll call?
Yes.
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 Have the resolution 51-2017 professional services appointment. There exists a need for attorneys, engineers, professional experts for 11 Township, the local public contracts law. Chris, how do you say that name?
Mikulajic? Sharon, how do you pronounce Chris's name? Mikulajic?
Mikulajic.
Good enough?
Yeah.
Okay, Mikulajic of CLM of Princeton Hydro for Professional Environmental Consulting Services. This is basically going back to, if you were here last year, we had put in for a grant for a rain garden at the library. That grant had, we didn't get the grant from the DEP, so we are trying again. So we went out and got letters of endorsement from all the state and officials again, and this is basically to try again. That's the best word to say it. So
I would only note on top of that that Chris of Princeton Hydro, part of his professional services proposal is he's not charging us for the preparation of the grant.
Correct. And unless we get it.
With the understanding that he would perform work on the grant.
Right.
There's no charge.
Is there maintenance with this if it gets installed?
That last year we discussed that, and the plan is that it would use native species and the like that would be low maintenance, as low maintenance as possible, but there would be remulching and things that a garden requires, but there wouldn't be annual plants that have to be replanted and the like. Yeah.
Correct. And it's to solve that wet spot, you know, in front of the library.
Well, we could fill it with topsoil and put grass there. Probably what I would do. That is what I would do.
Do you have any questions, Tom?
No.
Okay. So, a motion, yes, no?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 51, 2017, professional service appointments for Princeton Hydro.
I'll second.
Roll call?
No.
Yes.
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 In old business, I think we're actually at the table at the fire department, did not get a chance to fully go through it, and I guess you have somebody else looking at it just to confirm everything is, so we're going to, I guess, table this until they get back with us that they're good with both of the whole rental and the lease agreement at that point. So we're just going to table that till next meeting. So now we're to animal control officer.
Oh, wow,
we're already there. I'm moving right along.
Oh, God.
I'm not messing around tonight.
That's it.
Okay. So we're at the point where we have the two contenders, and we are going to send the contract of the one that we would like to put a resolution out to vote on to the attorney. Per counsel's advice, it's better to go to the attorney before we vote on it. But that's it. Right after that, we'll be able to... So I'm thinking the next.
So basically, we need a motion to send the contract for the ACO to Dick for review.
Okay.
If everybody's comfortable with who we're thinking about, and
I'll make a motion to send this along to Dick Christian's office for review for the ACO officer contract.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. There we go.
And that was a question.
Okay, so now we have the Selco partnership, Verizon Wireless petition for the township for consent regarding the nodes. I think this final draft came in today from Tara with some edits.
And some suggestions you may want to discuss.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to talk about this? You want to fill us in, everybody on? If I don't know if everybody else got to read it or not read it, or where we want to go with it.
Is that what you?
I know we just got this at the last revision here at 1:30. So. I personally did not have a chance to get to fully read the whole thing again.
Next week?
It doesn't matter to me. I mean, if we want to discuss it, and then if we can decide at that point what the changes are.
That's entirely up to you, Mayor.
I don't know.
I had a chance to read it and review it, so.
Yeah, I mean, we got it at 1:30. I know we were going to talk about it, but we had some little changes here.
I think the changes that came minor. Today was yeah. It was just very minor. It was okay. Put back in.
Let's review the changes at least, so everyone
yeah.
can.
You yeah, know, I mean, if we're comfortable with them, then we can set it aside. But then I just want to make sure everybody's, you know, I don't want to just I don't want to
no
push
problem.
It on anybody.
I hear you. Like you all have it here. The first change was to take in the construction permits from 1 year, 6 months to
right.
1 year.
Right.
Which
yeah.
seems reasonably enough, as Tara has pointed out. And that was C1
right.
that he's made a change at. There's other changes going on the following pages, a little more in depth. And I think that maybe Bev ought to look at some of those changes. She had some concerns about notification to the residents. Mm-hmm. So, so far as I see it, I'm pretty comfortable with what we have. Going through it, but everyone needs to look at that, and that would be C7. Has it been a change? You can see where they crossed out what was there and what they now have, and that's the escrow account, the amount of $2,000. The cost of engineering is crossed out.
Well, what they did, though, is they put the cost of professional review fees incurred in connection with the committee's review of its petition. So it seemed to embrace engineer, lawyer, mm-hmm. auditor, whoever you
okay, choose. So if in the committee's position they thought it needed to go to the engineer, is that a recommendation that we could make?
I think so. Because okay. professional review fees would embrace the
I think
engineer.
That was some of the concerns
yeah.
that originally
yep.
we thought that
yep.
both the county and the township would be able to send it to the engineering for review.
Could I?
Go ahead.
In the letter from Mr. Meese
yep.
Dated April 27th, point two, the reason engineering was crossed out was Verizon came back to say Verizon Wireless should not be subject to engineering review.
Well, to me, the way it's worded, professional review fees seems to embrace engineer.
As long as it does. But it also, this letter is different than what we heard at the planning board.
Right.
Right.
At the planning
yeah.
board, they clearly said
right.
our engineer would review mm-hmm. it.
Right.
Now they come back to say that they're not subject to review.
Well, in light of the fact that they actually, you know, said that in their letter, I mean, to me, professional review fees, it's almost standard terminology that we use in planning board or for escrows and so forth.
And
so
it opened more doors than closed.
But it sounds
that's
like
the way I
read what he wrote was almost like you can't interfere with the engineer because it's an FCC telling them what they have to do, but there's got to be some leeway with
well,
some
there
of
may,
that equipment.
There may be, maybe there's a little bit of confusion as to what you want the engineer to review and what they believe is the appropriate area of review.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they're saying is if it's a technical review of the number of megahertz or whatever, and that's not what you want.
No.
What I think what you want is almost, I use the term site plan, it's not quite that,
right.
but you want to know,
right.
is it going to interfere with the roadway in any way? Is it safe from the standpoint of operation of the municipality? Is it going to interfere with the police in any way? Not from a bandwidth issue, but just
right.
in terms of the physical location, right? That's what you're
well, concerned. And to tell you the truth, my concern was everything they gave us says proposed equipment, proposed.
Right.
And then they did say in the letter, reasonably close, you know, if they have some leeway if they need to change it. And again, we already put a height restriction on those ground cabinets, so I'm not worried about
yeah.
that. They are what they are. But the noise, if for some reason, and again, I'm not an engineer, but if for some reason they decided these convection things aren't going to work anymore, we want fans in there, and it's going to be loud, for example. And again, it's not so much the six of the nodes because they're kind of on the outskirts of people's property. You can't really...
Yep.
It's those three... Well, it's the noise thing was the Hatwell property, which they spelled it wrong. They had Hartwell, so that's what I was calling it. The Hatwell property and the Hugelmeyer property. Because I went by myself. I rode down the road and looked at all of those locations, and those are the only two that had residences that I thought could be impacted by ugly equipment. And one of them has an existing pole, which means it would have the 6.5-foot cabinet right somewhere. I don't even know, because I don't really have a site plan, so I don't know exactly. I looked at the one pole that could be the one they're talking about, and if that's the case, there could be an option of putting another pole. I remember Mr. Meese saying we could always put one of our own poles, then you could have those radio heads that are in the cabinets on the ground, mm-hmm. put them up on the pole in a smaller. If there may not be any issues, but I just think it's something that I'm concerned about. And then the one that was down by the Sunoco was a line of sight from a traffic perspective. If it, when I'm looking at the location of where the pole is located, there's a little area. It's not the corner. It's before you get there, between that place and Groenendijk. If it's a big 6-foot cabinet, and the way the drawings are situated, it's facing, the wide side is facing, as you're going down 513, people coming and going out of that gas station could have a line of sight issue. Again, I don't know. It's just something you have to look at.
So okay, there's so a couple of issues. Noise is one thing, yeah. Right?
And it's good as it is now. The noise is fine. It's only right. Max 2.5 decibels.
But I guess the question is your thought that you need some provision in there to address noise issues should they arise?
Should
they change equipment?
They change equipment at the last minute, do a swaparoo, we couldn't use these two radio heads, so we need to use this one, and they have fans, and then they're not servicing them, and the bearings go wrong, and then it gets louder.
How would we regulate that? What's the standard that we would use to say, okay, this one's okay, but that one's not okay?
Well, what I read was you don't really want things to be louder than 45 decibels. And like Mark was saying at the last meeting, that's like a conversation, like people talking.
Well, mm-hmm. conversation is 70.
All right, so it's even less than that.
But the state is 55 at night.
Yeah.
At your property line.
That's for residential.
Yeah.
So 45 is quiet.
Yep.
45 is
yeah,
very quiet.
It's quiet. We're not asking for it to be silent.
But at what distance, too?
Right. That's
3 feet.
I don't think we want to go into noise ordinances.
Yeah,
here.
That opens up a whole other can of worms. I think if we just have noise in there, it allows us the availability to address it.
So in other words, we'd use the unreasonable noise standard.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to give them carte blanche to just do whatever they want.
But the direction that I'm thinking is they've represented the equipment that they're putting in, and we can know the noise of the equipment they're putting in, but they put in a little caveat that says, I don't know, they're
replace, yeah.
substantially similar equipment. How do we tighten up substantially similar?
But noise is what you're not talking about physical size, just noise now, right?
At this point.
We've right, already yeah. addressed physical size because we said it won't be any higher than 6.5 or 7 feet, whatever it says in there.
Right.
So I'm not worried about size anymore.
Would you be better, I mean, have you heard their equipment as it
right.
now exists?
Right, as it sits now, it's silent.
Silent. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that new pieces of equipment won't require, because this is a passive cooling system.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they might have a different piece of equipment that is an active cooling system.
So that would then relate to do they define the present equipment? Could we say it's this particular type? Can we use a name for it that would describe it? Maybe not, at least generically. You used the term just now, Mayor.
Passive cooling.
Mm-hmm.
Passive cooling.
Right.
Well, I mean, in our resolution, we're not specifying the equipment. We're making reference to the attached
correct
documentation.
But would we say, well, let's just kind of work that through a little bit, but would we say, okay, Verizon is going to be using passive cooling equipment, which does not generate
noise.
Any kind of offensive noise.
Correct.
However, should a different type of equipment be used, the township reserves the right to review it for the purpose of determining whether it would be obnoxious to neighbors or it would be a nuisance to neighbors.
Right.
Would that make sense? Mm-hmm. Does that seem to work?
Yeah, I mean, something that leaves us open to be able to readdress it, that if they... Mm-hmm. they want to change something or, you know, that then, okay, now we have this box on here and we can just throw this other piece of equipment on the back and now you have a little compressor system on the back that's cooling this thing. That's, you know, if we're going to do this, might as well try to do it as correctly as possible.
Yeah, make it look like we looked at it, so.
I don't know exactly where that goes, but tell me when we're ready to go back to the point we were
right. Go ahead.
point, so we were at point 7 where they crossed off engineering.
Yeah.
And in their letter, they said they're not subject to engineering review. This should just be handled by the construction department. And I believe Tara sent a follow-up note that said the construction official has the freedom to send it for engineering review if he feels it needs
and
engineering
their,
review.
In their comments, that's what they noted, too, that they that, their wording is, if the construction official sees an issue that needs to be reviewed by the engineer, he can refer it to the engineer.
That's Tara's
that's
comment.
That's what her comment is for there.
So, oh, that was Tara's
that's
comment.
That's Tara's comment.
That's her comment.
Gotcha.
So, I guess the question to you, Dick.
On number
if,
7.
If the resolution stands on its own and they have an escrow account to cover professional review fees, but they could never come to the associated letter and say, but we all agreed professional review fees weren't engineering because we told you it wasn't engineering. They
based
clearly have in mind only the legal review for this resolution. And if we leave in engineering review fees, can they reasonably refuse to accept this resolution?
Why don't we say committee's review of its petition and installation?
So your argument is there a weight to this letter, this cover letter?
That's what I'm wondering.
That's your argument.
If they can bring up the cover letter and say, we agreed no engineering.
Well, that's what you agreed is what you said in your resolution.
As long as that stands on its own. Yeah.
But the maybe we would deal with committee's review of its petition. That, I think, is maybe more limited than you want because you're talking about committee's review of its petition and installation is really what you want, right?
Permitting and installation. Right? I mean, we want to know it before it's being
permitting.
Installed.
Well, I think, of course, what they're going to argue is, you know, gee, for the construction code official, you're paying whatever fees you're paying, but that doesn't mean the lawyer has to get involved in reviewing the that's probably what they're concerned about, which is not an unreasonable, not that lawyers ever do stuff like that, but no. But so if we said permitting and installation of equipment, why don't we say from a public safety standpoint? Because that's really what you're worried about, right?
Yeah.
And maybe we could even improve it a little bit because it's installation of location of equipment. It's not, you're not reviewing the actual type of equipment.
It's the location.
Yeah, the location and installation. So it would be and location of equipment instead of installation of equipment. Does that make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think I would strike out committee's review of its petition because that just confuses the matter.
I think that's true. Well, let's see, so it would be for professional fees incurred in connection with why don't we say review of petition, permitting, and location of equipment from a public safety standpoint. Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. About 9-2. Is that 10 days seems reasonable, right?
Yep. Now back to the language you were just putting in about changing design. That would fit under 9-4.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, okay.
They removed that.
Yeah. I just noticed.
Yeah.
I liked having the idea of the methods of design, construction, and maintenance. The township reserves the right at all times to reasonably specify the types.
Oh, yeah.
We've lost that ability now.
Well, I
Can we tie that in with what we were just talking about?
Yeah, I think we can, but I think what we ought to be doing is talking about, let's see what Tara says here. I think what we're talking about here is, again, the physical location of the equipment, not so much the particular type of equipment.
Exactly.
In other words, right? Isn't that what you're concerned about?
I think less the function of the equipment, but the whether it's noise, whether it's size.
Well, I think
you know,
you stay with the public safety of the fact, you know what I mean? But the right to review it, I mean, you know, again, if it was on private property, even though on the right of way and it's right in front of the front door of a house, I think that's upsetting.
Yeah, then again, that's location.
And just overall, I mean, they came in representing that these would all be on the poles. Then they changed where they were going to be. If they come in with a different antenna, I think we need to know and should know. Yeah, they've got a track record of making major changes along the way.
Or say like they, because none of us are engineers, say like they say, oh, you know, we tested the system. We need a booster. It only weighs 100 pounds, and we're going to shove that on the pole, too.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know. I mean, at least if you say we have the option to review.
Part of it, I think this actually forces them to get it
that's
as right,
right.
Yes. Right as
that's right.
The first time.
That's right.
You know, because I think, like you said, I think they've been filling in the blanks behind.
So we would reserve the right to review the equipment to the extent or in connection with physical size. Right, that's what you're worried about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not like I also like don't like the word substantially. Like, who determines what substantially is?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're saying if Verizon substantially changes, well, what's you know, that's a very changes. If you mm-hmm. change the design, this.
No, we don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Or maybe their problem is, and what they crossed out was that we reserve the right to reasonably specify. What if we're not reasonably specifying, but we're approving any changes to their proposal? So they can keep specifying it.
Right.
They just have to bring it back to us.
Right.
Right, because it's not, I mean, we can't preempt the FCC like they said, but
right.
we should have some control. There's got to be something. Maybe
yeah.
they'll tweak what we put in and just make it a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, they can't park a bread truck at every telephone pole.
Or hang one from every telephone pole.
Exactly. You know, yeah, I'm not a fan of that word, substantially.
How about something like this? Township reserves the right to review equipment, that's a defined term, in connection with physical size and location of any alteration of installed equipment or previously installed equipment. Is that...
I like the direction, but in addition to the, what did you say, size?
Yes, it's size and location.
I would capture the noise in there as well.
Okay, noise.
Noise emission or emissivity or whatever you want.
Location and any other nuisance.
Yes.
Nuisance impacts, nuisance, does that work?
That's nuisance a generic... Yeah.
Because they could come with something that has a flashing light on it.
Yeah.
Right.
That they would say substantially the same.
Yeah, the night, the airplane things.
Maybe that attracts bees.
That'd be probably a good thing.
Yes.
You need more bees. That's a reserve right to review equipment in connection with its physical size.
It's like they figured out when they put fiber optics under the sea, it attracted sharks.
Why don't we say review any alteration?
Yeah.
To equipment in connection with physical size, noise, weight.
Hmm.
Is weight, I mean, with that, are we reviewing the strength of the poles?
Weight, I don't know. You know, because size is going to be
correct
a factor.
If
it weighs 1,000 pounds and it's this big.
I would think JCP&L is going to work.
Correct.
That.
We're not
going to
evaluate the strength of the poles.
Yeah.
Right. They'll
right.
put in
okay.
a new pole if they have that. That's another reason for us to have to review it, because if they do have some big piece of equipment that the pole can't support, then they're going to need to shove another pole in there. And it would be just good for us to know
mm-hmm.
before it happens.
And can you reference it to Exhibit A? When you said alterations, alterations from the design presented in Exhibit A.
How about we say add in aesthetics, by the way?
Hmm?
Yeah. How about we add in aesthetics?
Yeah.
Nice on the side
suggest,
comment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aesthetic concerns.
Yeah, aesthetics. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think should be if required.
G is where this afternoon's discussion came a little bit. Mm-hmm. We had put in there that they have to allow we said they had to allow co-location on anything.
Mm-hmm.
They pushed back a little bit to say on JCP&L poles, they don't own the poles, they can't drive that. I think legally mm-hmm. that makes sense. But then they also struck out the ground-based cabinets, which they do own. And then there was a little clarification today. They're saying that co-location is not possible in the ground-based cabinets. But to me, then, that's easy for them to agree that, you know, to the extent possible, they have to allow co-location
mm-hmm.
in it.
Mm-hmm.
And now some of us heard it differently in their presentation, so we can't quote them differently. But if technology changes and 5 years from now they can co-locate, I think, to me, that's an important point.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's in there
and they have less cabinets.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's in there and we say it, and if they can, they can always come back and say they can't. There's no room.
So you would say any poles or cabinets?
Yeah. You see the
ground-mounted
cabinets. I don't know which version you're on, because it was crossed out, then it's back in the last version from today. It's left in.
Right.
Well, you know, the other thing too is if they can do it in the ground cabinet, eventually they should be able to do it in the pole mounted one, because it's the same two pieces of equipment, whether it's on the new pole or on the ground. It's just it's a smaller. When it's on the pole, it's the radio heads are there's two of them and they're smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is I wouldn't limit it even just to the ground. I would just if you're going to do the co-location, limit it to everything.
Although I think their point was that when they mount a pole, that when they mount their box on JCP&L's pole, JCP&L has to give the permission for the co-location.
Yeah,
they can't
true.
Give permission on someone else's pole.
Yeah, you're right.
But however the lawyer can make that as broad as possible.
Yeah, that's key.
How about we say on that last, on G, and that if Verizon mounts its facility to a third party's pole, it shall cooperate advocate for or does that make advocate for such co-location. The one other issue which I brought up to Tara and I thought you might want to consider, again, it depends on how you want to handle this or not handle this. There's no, we had some discussions when they were here about the question of whether there'd be any notification of the neighbors. Now, I understand that these particular
poles are located in such a way where that isn't a major issue. That's my understanding.
Two people, possibly. There's two.
Oh, okay.
Two.
So the only concern that I had about not addressing it, this in any way, or at least reserving the right to address it in some future instance, is I was kind of concerned that if you don't put it in this one is going to be, or if you either put it in it or at least reserve a spot that in the future you might want to do it, this one's going to be like a template, and the next company that comes along may not be Verizon, it may be, you know, the John Doe telephone company, and they're going to say, hey, you did it for Verizon, you should do it for us too, and you didn't raise that to Verizon, so therefore you shouldn't raise it to us because we're entitled to compete on the same grounds for this type of service as Verizon is, and you're imposing now a different burden on us than you imposed on Verizon, so you're favoring Verizon at our expense. So my question is, and again, it's a policy question. If you don't want to get into the whole thing about notifying, there is, you know, there's some arguments against doing that. So I'm just raising it so people can consider whether you want to do anything or not.
Tara sent us draft language, which everybody has on the thing that says received 5/3/17.
Right.
The two whereases. And I'm completely on board with a placeholder that says we reserve the right to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The issue that I take in her draft language here is, whereas the committee did not find the installation of nodes associated had any significant impact, I don't believe we've made a study.
I don't either.
Yeah.
And I think significant is one of those words like substantial.
Yeah.
That I don't think.
Yep.
I agree. And the two residents that are in question right now are kind of in a limbo. If we reserve it for future, but we don't do anything now, and there is a problem with the two, I can't speak for that, but Bev has brought that up, that there may be two residents that may have an issue. We've kind of left them out. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of feel like I'm with you. There needs to be a place for it. How do you feel about the two? But we haven't had a study or survey or anything done to tell us.
It could be much ado about nothing. I mean, there may not even be an issue. They may not even care. You know, maybe I care and they don't care. But it's just kind of. I just know that I know that these ground cabinets with the equipment can't go more than 15 feet from the pole. But if they can move it, like if they go down there and they look at it and they say, well, if we move it 3 feet this way and it's still within the 15 feet and it helps them out, why not do it?
Well, I would say that we've reviewed the sites enough that moving 3 feet is not going to be material to these lots. At least I believe that.
Well,
because these are big lots. They're not. It's not 100 feet from someone's front door and their front windows. So, I mean, I agree that we've looked at it to that extent. Separately, I think we've protected our property owners. And I think this, Dick, was your advice as well. We've put in a clause here that Verizon has to get whatever rights of way are required. And if they need new rights of way, they need new rights of way. And so I was assuming we were somewhat relying on the fact that if a property owner has a right of way in front of their property that Verizon is allowed to build on, we can't restrict Verizon's right in that right of way. If there's not an existing right-of-way and they have to go get an easement or whatever the right terms are, we've protected our citizens by saying, Verizon, you have to do this.
There's a little bit of a technical question there because in terms of the right-of-way, it can depend on whether the property owner's property goes to the middle of the right-of-way.
Right.
Or ends at the edge of, say, the paved portion or the public right-of-way. In some cases, the property owner owns the land under the road, but has no control over it. And in other instances, they don't, simply because, for whatever reason. My guess is most properties here probably own to the middle of the road, or at least have title to the middle of the road. Now, maybe I'm off base on that. But so it's not always going to be 100% clear, Mike, that the Verizon is going to have to go to the property owners.
Well, I'm not saying that, but that's what I'm saying. Either the right of way exists,
right,
in which case the property owner owns property with a right-of-way, and then they must know it or should know it or could know it. Or if they don't have a right-of-way, Verizon has to go and negotiate with them the terms of a right-of-way. But I think the most protection we can provide is that we're insisting Verizon take all appropriate steps to determine that and to take the right steps.
In those instances, though, where the property owner only owns to the edge of the road, in those instances, then I don't think the property owner would have any say. Because then it's publicly owned, and then Verizon is getting a consent from you to be able to use that public right-of-way on behalf of Verizon for locating these particular bits of equipment. So I'm not sure that you get that protection all the time.
Wasn't there something in there about fees in that case you were talking about? If the residential, Meese has sent out a letter, I think it was March 24th, and it said something like when they were looking for the easements and things to see if they needed to pay fees to some of the homeowners that maybe, or maybe it was that land under the right-of-way situation. It was confusing. But
yeah, well, I think the question was, he was saying if there are existing easements that were given by Verizon or somebody to whose interest they succeed from the private property owner, then they wouldn't need to go to the private property owner. They'd already have that right. So, I mean, it's a little bit complicated involving individual property owners because who knows what's going to happen. So it's really a judgment call for you as to whether you want to open that door or not.
Well, here's the other thing. I feel it's, in some cases, towns have actually had them do a neighborhood facilities meeting, like a public meeting, not like this meeting, but a separate meeting to really bring attention to it. Do they really want that? Not that we're going to make them do that. But, or to just take care of a couple of people that might have a problem when maybe there is no problem, but if there is, maybe they can just work something out. I mean, and again, we're flying blind here because we don't have that fun. If I went out there tonight and they had their engineer say, here is the spot, the 3-foot spot on the ground where this ground cabinet is, it might clear the whole thing up and we wouldn't even have to talk anymore.
I mean, can we just simply put in there that they're required to notify property owners, period, that they're putting, they'd be putting this piece of equipment on there? I mean, one way or the other, though, it's basically a letter saying this is, it's in the right of way and this is what we're
And that's within
doing.
Our right?
I think so. And this,
I think that might
be it's the right thing to do anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that's what, if this is, the, you know, they're giving us nine, and they are, you know, hopefully they're the final places. But if say, okay, you have these nine now, it's part of your responsibility is to then notify these nine property owners that there will be something going on there.
If we were to put it in there.
So you notify. Okay, next step, you notify the property owner. You say, Mr. Jones, you know, we're going to be putting this thing in this spot in front of your house. Property owner goes, oh my God, that's right next to the most beautiful tree I've ever had, and blah, blah, blah. Or I don't want this thing there, or whatever they say. Where does the property owner go to get resolution of
the issue? Well, they still have to...
Now, you
still
talked have to about bringing it back here, as I recall.
But then they still... At this, by this thing, once this goes through, this is essentially saying, this is... These nine are... you can go through with, and these are... You go... You have to still go to this, our construction official to get the approvals to make it right. And part of that process is notifying the owner that this is where it's going to be going, and that that would go back to the construction official to say, yes, this is bad. I don't know where, like, where does that,
yeah, it just seems where like do you have the point of resolution?
Right, because it's hard to say that the point of resolution is here at this point when you could be, this is nine, we may be, somebody come in and says, hey, we got 20 of these we want to put throughout your whole township.
Yep.
And then they have to, you know, then maybe it's just one that may be an issue.
Correct.
And is there the mechanism to say, okay, we've gotten to the point where we're giving you the permission to go to the right-of-ways, but you still have to take the next step, going construction official and notifying these homeowners that this box is going on your property, and that that point is then, at, I don't know. It's kind of a strange.
Yeah. You're getting there.
Well, yeah, and I think you are. I mean, I'm thinking one way to do it, I mean, is to say, okay,
if the property owner has an objection, he or she can bring it to the attention of the construction code official. There could be a little meeting, like a mediation session.
Right.
And if they can work it out, that's fine. If not, you could have it going someplace else, okay?
Other than here?
Well, you could have it, yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah. I was thinking either to the Board of Adjustment, which would be a logical place to go, or to the Planning Board.
Yes.
You know, and yes. Mm-hmm. We could have that as a simple process. It's not, it's fairly easy what I just said, but
it sounds it.
Actually, yeah, no, I get what you would like. And the board would be a logical place. The question the board is going to say, well, wait, do we have to get escrow fees? Do we have to do this? Do we have to do that? How complicated should this thing be? But it would seem to me, now, normally the appeal is from the zoning officer, not the construction code official. So, but the appeal from a construction code official is to the county construction board of appeals. Now, that is not really what you have here, because really this is more of a land use issue than a technical construction issue. So I don't think, you know, the plumbers down there are on the board aren't going to be happy if you send this thing down there.
I agree with you there. We got to find the right venue.
So what if we made, I mean, logically, it's like a little bit of a split, but it would be more logical, which is if there's an objection, it goes to the zoning officer. All right? And the zoning officer then sits down with both sides, and either they work it out or they don't work it out. And then under the statute, if a party is dissatisfied with a zoning officer's interpretation or whatever, goes to the Board of Adjustment. So there is a little process there. Man, I hate to get too
think
technical.
That through. In the
yeah,
right
but
way,
I'm thinking along the lines of, like, when you sit in the planning board and say, hey, we're giving you our approval based on the fact that you get all these other approvals.
Yep.
And that's kind of how I'm viewing this, is we're giving you the approval as long as you meet the construction code, you notify all the owners, and then it meets the set of a, you know, because the next one comes along, like I said, with 20 of them, we notify 20 people. We don't want to hash out 20 individual
Correct.
Ones.
You don't want them here. Yep. You don't want them here.
That's where they should be going to the zoning board.
Exactly.
And that's what they're there for. That, that board
planning,
is for.
That's what it's there for.
So then if it seems to me that they notify the property owner, and then we use the zoning officer kind of as just a mediator. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'd make a decision, you know, and that could be appealed. But he would bring the people in, and the Verizon engineer would say, listen, I can move it over here 30 feet. Would that make you happy? Plus, I'll throw a tree in your front yard or something.
Or not,
you know,
cut
to,
your tree
to work out a deal. And that's
so how do we write that in?
Figure it out.
That's going to require a little bit of thought there, but I think we could do that. I think that's
a
pretty good way to do it myself. You know,
it adds that extra layer of protection down the road.
Yeah,
right.
It's there.
And
right.
It separates. I'm sorry, Tom, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say it separates the construction code responsibilities, which are really technical, you know, which is, all right, do you meet this code? Do you meet that code? The construction code guy doesn't look at zoning things. That's what the zoning officer is there for. Right. So this would make it logical, simple, and then a mechanism that's already in existence to resolve any disputes to a board that actually does that kind of stuff. And then we'd have to say to Verizon, now, if you've got somebody that's got 400 or 4,000 feet of frontage, if there are such people, and there's a guy next door that's got 30 feet of frontage, and you know the thing is right next to the guy who's 30 feet, but on the 4,000 foot guy's property, mm-hmm. who gets notice? Just the property owner on who's adjacent to whom the
normally we'd send out letters to
everybody within 200 feet, but that does seem a bit extreme.
That seems a bit much to me too.
So does it seem reasonable only to the property owner who
is
immediately adjacent?
And the case study that Tara showed us said it could go to the planning board for an aesthetic reason. So a box that's in front of their front door aesthetically is unappealing. So I think we have grounds to stand on what we're doing.
And like I said, it pushes it away from here a little bit. Like we approved the general, like I said, the 10,000-foot view, and then it trickles down to the people that are meant to look at the details.
I just think we need it in there now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, exactly. If this is our opportunity. If, if this goes away, then it goes away forever.
So
if the adjacent property owner gets notice, how long do they have to contact the zoning officer? 10 days?
I would say.
Does that seem fair?
I mean, somebody could be on vacation.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, what is normal notification?
30 days reasonable?
What is the normal notification process on that?
Well, usually 10 is what for notice of a hearing, it's usually 10. Now, 20 would maybe a compromise number.
Could we send it certified so that
we know
the person?
Reach for here and we'll settle for there. I mean, we'll see where they go.
Okay, so what do you want me to put in?
For an initial notice, because this will come out of the blue. I mean, a notice of hearing, you know it's happening.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
This comes out of the blue. I would start with 30 days.
Okay.
All right, let's reach for that and see what the pushback is when we give it to them.
Yeah.
We're going to get a push.
Yeah. Because they should be telling them in the design phase.
Right. Well, makes sense. Yeah.
This is the right thing to do.
When you say immediately adjacent, in your example of, what if it's in the middle of the 4,000-foot property?
Okay. What I was thinking is, if you have the 4,000 feet and it's anywhere in that 4,000 feet, that property owner gets noticed.
Yes.
But not the guy, not the person next door, or across the street.
But that's the question. And if it's within, I don't know the number, 50 feet of the property line, then you notice the neighbor?
No.
But I think if it's 2,000 feet from the property line, I don't think you have to notify the next neighbor.
Right. Like if it's at the center, whatever.
That's the point.
It can't go any more than 15 feet from the pole either way.
No, but for a new pole location.
Oh, a new pole. Okay.
If this is the whole property line and then you have another property person here, like if it's going right here, this guy should know. But if it's going right here, neither one of them really care, depending on the size of the property.
No.
But what's that distance?
You could do it,
only 10 feet.
Anybody within 100 feet either way of the pole?
Of the pole. Mm-hmm. Or the facility, let's say.
Okay, 100 feet, right.
Facility.
Okay, 100 feet.
Facilities,
yeah, that's the word, because you want the whole kit.
Well, okay, one more thing. Are we doing it horizontally or a circle?
How about
Well, that's the question. Do the people on the other side of the road need
is
to be notified?
In case it's in a cul-de-sac or something?
If the road is, say, 35 feet, does the guy across the street from the pole get to say, hey, I don't like that pole across the street?
I don't think so. Because, even when I went and did the site survey, 6.5 feet in a pole when you're on top of it looks different than when you're across the street. It didn't look as bad. It's not your property. It's across the street.
My concern is really with the person who owns the property that's going to have the facility on it. That's where my concern is.
Yeah, the primary is the person that owns the property. I mean, the other ones, granted, if it's like, the only one that comes to mind is that Sunoco property with the house right next to it.
Yes.
So where that box is going to go, it's probably going to go within 3 feet of the property line of the neighbor next door.
Go ahead, Mike. If we're not going across the street, then 100 feet seems too long. Then
that's what I thought.
Then
maybe 50
down to 50
on either side. Yeah,
what
I say.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's sensible. If you were, and look, again, we're not. This isn't going to be like the Ten Commandments. Right? We can modify it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, and give us a little time. Next year, come back. We'll find out how it works, and we'll see if it needs to be redone. It's only a resolution, too.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
All right, at least it's solid on what we want them to do. That,
right.
Like I said, it's planting our flag.
Right. Don't tread on me.
Planting our pole, you might say.
All right. So. Okay. Moving forward?
I think so.
Okay.
The appointment of a new officer. I don't know if you want to sit up at the desk, Jack, or not, or we'll just talk about this real quick.
Yes, sir.
So we had interviewed 4 more candidates to get our 9th officer. And so basically tonight was a motion to appoint a new officer, and I think the ones, why can't I think of Teresa Merlin?
De Silva.
Okay, it was the one that, one of the key ones that we had talked about, and you had spoken to her as one of the options, and she was willing to...
She's looking forward to the opportunity of working for us, yes. Okay.
Tonight we would be appointing, then we were saying then the next meeting would be then our...
They'll do the swearing in the next township meeting.
Do we specify the class, or is that...
I think 8 was what we were looking at, correct?
Yes.
Step. So then can I get a motion to appoint Teresa
De Silva?
Yeah. I'll make a motion to appoint Teresa De Silva as our newest officer.
I'll second that at the 8th class.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Thank you.
Okay, so then Mike gets to swear her in.
When is her actual swearing in, and when is
that? Will be it.
Oh, so she won't start before middle of May.
She'll be in at the end of next week, because she still had another week of finishing her ACO positions, and then with uniforms, administrative functions, and meeting with Greg and everything else. But as far as her.
Okay.
Assuming the duties of a police officer, she won't be carrying a firearm until the 18th day after.
Okay.
She is sworn in.
Okay. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Hey, I got to, while you're sitting there. Last Friday.
Oh. Made the papers probably, right?
Oh, yeah. Got some police stuff.
So?
Senior prank day.
Oh,
were,
yeah.
23 bicyclists. They decided to, and it took some coordinated effort.
And a rollerblader,
yes. From Califon to school in the morning. Not abiding by any of the bicyclist rules or rollerblader rules that are extreme right. They were out in the middle of the road. They had a lead vehicle. They had a trail vehicle, so no one would run up on them. 8-10 miles an hour from Califon to the high school to go to school. Patrolman Lane got the call, responded down there, said, get off the road, let traffic go through, because he's going through, and there's about a 2-plus mile backup behind it. They started moving over as he told them to. He comes back around, they're right back in the road again. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, you get out of the road, he's going down, getting some traffic moving up, and they came right back in the road. So we pulled them all off the road, let all the traffic clear. At the same time, the school was getting reports of the delay because the school buses were in this line. They were 30, 40 minutes late getting to school because the buses were backed up. Wow. Other students and staff and parents driving kids to school were all in this delay. The school waited for them to get there. The school has policies in place to address those issues. We issued summonses, 23 summonses for this specific bicycle statute for failure to keep to the right portion of the road. The skateboarder, he got one too, or rollerblader. One of the vehicles is unregistered, so that was a summons was issued for that. The lead driver was issued a summons for obstructing traffic. So their prank became very expensive for them. Now they have a GoFundMe page. entrepreneurs are very creative. Hats off to them. A couple of the kids came in the other day to get their summonses, and the one dad came in to get the ticket for the kid with the unregistered vehicle. I was talking to them. I was like, yeah, I understand what you're doing. And they were for, it was for Green Day, to go green, and Arbor Day. I said, nah, you missed it. You just wanted to aggravate people. It was a prank. Let's face it. Yeah, that's what we were trying to do, So. So the school is, they're still hot under the collar. They caught the brunt of all the 300-plus messages on Facebook. We came out looking good.
That's right.
We'll all have them in court next month, so I'll have another guy up there, and I'll go up there, and we'll have a couple parents call complaining about, they're just kids. I said, would you be happy if you were 40 minutes late to work because a kid wanted to, aggravate you, make a prank on you? No, it costs people time, costs people money. So now it's going to cost them time and money, too.
Are they all going to be in court on the same day, and what day is it?
No, this is like better entertainment than
the next film court date will be in May.
In May? Do you know when?
I think I don't have a calendar right in front
I'm
of me.
I'm serious. I'm going.
I have it. Third Tuesday in May.
Third Tuesday?
Yes.
Third Tuesday.
The 16th.
It's
the day before our next meeting.
Good.
Be around.
Yeah. I'll come back.
These are traffic violations, right? These don't. You're not putting anything on their records. They're just.
They're traffic violations.
Traffic violations.
Yes. Yeah. Some of them are 15 years old. Some are 18 years old. So it wasn't just seniors. It was some of their younger siblings and stuff, too. They are strictly motor vehicle offenses. And we didn't put any names or anything like that. We just ages range from 15 to 18 in our press release, what the summons is for, and we did not get into what the school policy, because there's a specific policy in place. They asked that we not speak of that, because they're catching a lot of flack for they impounded bicycles and stuff, and they're still dealing with that. So that's why Mr. Peterson was like, you know what? It's going to be nice when we can get an officer in here, case in point, you know, because we could have maybe one seen this coming, two diverted it by, you know, talking to the kids. Like, no, it's not a good idea, guys, you know. Nobody knew this was coming. This kind of came out of the blue, except for the kids, obviously.
Yeah. Okay.
But well, if that's the worst thing that goes on in your town, you guys.
Yeah, well, it's funny until someone gets hurt. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Yeah.
Couple calls, and then I saw Facebook.
So, Dick, you should have been on clean.
Couple parents, a couple people called. Why can't they get careless driving and get points?
No.
was two calls I got. I guess they were caught in the traffic.
Not a children's book.
Oh, I can imagine.
Irate motorists, and that was the concern. You get, you know. Road rage,
yes.
You know, we've had bicyclists clipped, and you know, Tewksbury's had them before. And you know, they're riding the bikes on the weekends. And these are the professional bicyclists, and they're flying around the corner. And sometimes they refuse to yield as much as they should. We've had cars come by where mirrors clipped them. You know, whether intentional or unintentional, but you know, people have short fuses anymore. So. It could have turned out bad.
Yeah, well, that's it. The safety factor there is lost on them.
Yes. So they don't think that way.
Well, hopefully it makes also the Voorhees think a little bit about how they enforce it and make it hurt a little bit, so maybe the next class. Because the last thing you need is the next class to try to outdo this class.
We're going to have 100.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's more of my concern is the... Hey, well, they did this. Let's try this.
Yeah,
you know,
they always start out to each other.
Yep. So, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have this is a letter of support for the 2017 Water Quality Restoration Grant for the non-point source pollution. This is to go along with the appointment of Princeton Hydro. This is basically our letter of support supporting this process. We need that in the packet that goes out for the DEP grant. So I need a motion to approve the support letter.
I make a motion to approve the letter of support for a 2017 Water Quality Restoration Grant for non-point source pollution.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 This is he's speaking of bicyclists.
Yeah, that's funny. What a segue. That's so funny.
Tour de Cure 2017 for the American Diabetes. They basically have cyclists to participate in the 50 to 75 mile routes. We'll be traveling on small portions of Old Turnpike Road. I guess this is Tewksbury. Where are they coming in our part?
No, they have an old
small portion.
Oh, we do? Where's an old turnpike?
Fort Murray down there.
Oh, way down.
Way up at Penlow. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they're going way out.
Wow. They just clip. I looked at their route. Most of it's up in Morris and Warren County.
Oh, okay.
They just clip the corner.
So they're expecting that the riders will be through there between 9:30 and 10 a.m.
So is this just basically a notification?
Well, they want approval, but in the past, the committee doesn't approve it. It's more of an acknowledgement that they'll be here, and I gave Jack a copy and a copy to Warren just so they're aware that it's going to take place.
Yeah. That's what's gonna, do they get police escort on, not escort, but, you know, closing, you know, police attention on that road when the bikes, do they close the road or anything, or?
No, we would not close the road for that. I don't believe any of those courses are closed courses.
Okay.
And the short portion of our road on Old Turnpike, there's about 15 houses on there. There's very little traffic. The impact's going to be when they get out to Route 57.
Right.
That's Mansfield's problem.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's right. So it's more just a motion to acknowledge that they'll be here.
Okay. So then can I get a motion to acknowledge that the Tour de Cure will be in our township somewhere around 9 to probably 10, or it looks like maybe even 11 a.m. on, why doesn't it say a date? Where am I losing the date?
It says a date.
Where did I lose the date?
Can we just take
June 4th.
June 4th. Thank you. On June 4th.
Yes. Make a motion to acknowledge the Tour de Cure 2017 bicycle tour using some of our roadway up on.
Are we taking on any responsibility by acknowledging it? Liability-wise?
No, that's a public road. I mean,
normally we try not.
I'm not sure you could.
You're not
sure you could
it,
even.
Right? You're
huh?
just acknowledging it.
Exactly.
Just
you're acknowledging it, and they come as almost a courtesy to you,
yeah.
let you
I'm
know, let the police
you.
Know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the answer is it's a public road. It's regulated by Title 39, which is state statute. You don't regulate the road, so.
Right. Okay.
Or at least for the most part, you don't.
But if we acknowledged it and there was no police there, that we
there's
knew.
A
well, have my officers monitor the situation that warrants. More attention, obviously.
And, Bev, there's immunities. There's a certain level of immunities under the New Jersey Tort Claims Act for discretionary decisions, A, by the police, and, B, failure to provide certain levels of police service. So, I mean, if the chief determines that, in terms of his allocation of officers, that, you know, have somebody ride by or whatever he does, whatever he feels is appropriate, that's generally considered immune type of activities, you know.
Okay. Good.
So we got a motion, I think, but mm-hmm. a roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay.
We'll do this here. Couple updates.
Sure.
I reached out to Veteran Saver Superintendent. I haven't gotten a reply back yet.
Okay.
I reached out to Ruth at the food pantry, and I've been able to find somebody willing to donate some new shopping carts for the food pantry.
Oh, okay. That's
they don't wish to be identified. So.
Okay.
That's all.
Wonderful. Looks like that is everything. So we are at presentation of, unless there's any other old business. And presentation of vouchers.
No vouchers that qualify.
Neither do I.
Hold on, I do. I should pull it out. Where is it? No, there it is. I have the Lemon Township Fire Department annual appropriations for 2017. The $80,000 appropriation. And that's it.
I've got a refund of construction escrow to Distinctive Builders in the amount of $7,494. I've got a repair for body damage. The face amount of this is $4,832.58, but we've been reimbursed by our insurance for all but $1,000 of it, so it's a $1,000 cost. This was for a police car that had an issue with a snowbank, as I understand it.
It hit a snow, hit a telephone, or hit a mailbox that was on a old telephone pole.
And then for diesel fuel for the DPW, $2,779.50 to Finch Fuel Oil Company.
I don't have any.
Can I get a motion to approve the vouchers?
Make a motion to approve the voucher list.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay.
Can we just have correspondence, which is from the Levin Town Environmental Open Space Committee. One item that came up actually at their last meeting, which has come up a number of times, and it's something that I don't know if the Environmental Open Space Committee will help, will assist with this, or how the committee should get involved with this. But in the newsletter, it's been in there probably for the past 2 years, regarding the emerald ash borer beetle. And it has been confirmed in Somerset County. It has now been confirmed in Warren County. So it is very obvious to say it's here. It's in our county. It's in our county. It's in our township. I can definitely tell that the ash trees are
suffering.
Yeah, you can tell that they're not maturing. The leaves are not coming out. Look, I have 18 on my property alone, and I can tell that they are not leafing out the way they normally did. So the question comes is, we have also properties that don't get any people, but we do have the properties like the municipal, like the Memorial Park, that does have them, is to look at the safety concerns of these trees dying in the next probably 2 to 3 years at the long end, depending on how infested they are, is it something that we look at bringing a forester in to professionally identify all these trees? Ash trees are very easy to identify. Realistically, anybody with a book can really go through. And then we look at, do we bring in somebody professionally to cut these trees down, or if it's something that our in-house DPW can handle, depending on the trees, before they become a hazard? Because if you have properties and have ash trees, they just break. They don't. So they can be an extreme hazard because of just the nature of that wood. So I don't bring this up as any kind of, just more of just a informational and something to think about. But I think we really need to think about how we will approach this, especially at the Memorial Park. The other lands that, you know, are just open space that we owned, not dreadfully concerned about that. Maybe when we, towards some of the trails that we have, maybe we'll look at that down the road. But the immediate future, I think, is walking through the park and making sure what trees would be a potential safety hazard. So just something to think about, probably some more conversation with the Environmental Open Space Commission and ourselves to figure out how we approach that. So, I mean, if there are any other thoughts on it, but it's more of just a point of thought for future. So, with that, can I get a motion for public comment?
Make a motion for public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. We are now open for public comment.
Ron Mikowski, Rockburn Road. You make a good point about the ash trees. It's something that we ought to do something. You're right. Something really does need to be done in Memorial Park. Something in the order of having the trees put on the ground. There's a lot of people in the area that use them for firewood. Once they're on the ground, you can offer, you know, free permit to them so you know who's there, so they can use it and take the wood. But I really agree with you on that point. And it's something I don't think you ought to just let ride.
No. And by law, it can't leave the municipality. That's the way the rule is written, and because of this infestation, it's not allowed to leave the municipality. Even if it was worth money as ash, because of the infestation, it can't leave. So,
well, most loggers won't take it anymore.
Either. Right, yeah, but I mean, that's,
yeah,
you know, so we'd have to do something like that, as, you know, offering out for firewood or something of nature like that.
My point is, it's something you get going on, and by fall time, you get rid of it.
Right.
Can we offer it, but not for resale, so we know it stays in the town, or are people going to come take it?
We'll have to figure that out as we get along. But step one, it would be identifying, dropping
keep
them.
It for residents, if
yeah,
we can.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think it would be something that we would offer out to maybe even a lottery, if it, depending on how many people were interested in
true,
it.
True.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Make a motion to close the public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Well, 1 minute.
I have a sore throat.
Second.
Yeah, what resolution number is executive?
Oh, I didn't know if you were going to be adding, so it would be 52.
52, okay. So, can I get a motion to go into executive for Resolution 52-2017 to discuss the fire official interviews, and there potentially will be a vote coming out of it. At this point, it's uncertain.
So it's really contractual negotiations and maybe collective bargaining that overlap there?
Could be, but it's partly selection of
right.
the individual.
Right. Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Who seconded that?
No idea.
Did you
I think
second?
I seconded.
Oh, no head. Idea.
Yeah. I forgot the chutney. Yeah. I forgot the chutney. I had it right on the edge. Do you?